as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that we want to be people of prayer. Someone asked me one time, Lord, why did I like pastoring at Cross and Resurrection? And I told him it's because people are worshipers. The people are people who respect the word of God. And more importantly, they're people of prayer. And there's power in prayer. Lord, thank you that we can be reminded today of the importance that you placed on prayer and the power that you give to us as we utilize this wonderful gift, not a means of grace, but a means of power. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The power of prayer. It's amazing to me, but I listen to people all the time that talk about reasons they don't pray or pray enough. What do you think might be some of the reasons that people have for not praying or not praying enough? Time, too busy, right? Scared of the answer they might get? Angie got to hear this last night at the prayer time, and that was kind of that was right on for what people said there too, right? Too busy, scared of the yes, no, or wait, scared of what does thy will be done mean? Pardon me? Yeah, maybe they don't think it's worthwhile. Maybe they just think it's talking to the wind. Although I would argue with all the counseling and everything we pay for in this society, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Tried it once, it didn't work the way I wanted it to work, right? Yeah, okay. What other reasons might we have? Tom? Okay. That's that submission thing, right? Surrender thing we were talking about before. What other reasons? Anybody else have a reason? It takes effort. And we sometimes forget that our sinful nature does not want to be in relationship with God. We're inherently opposed to it, right? And what about Satan? Does he like it when we pray? Does he like the fact that we have a direct line to God that he no longer has? No. What other things? What am I missing here? They don't know how. Very good point. Someone else? They feel unworthy? Okay. They think they are worthy, or they think they're going to do it on their own? I don't need any help. It's weakness, it's help, it's like a crutch. How many of us heard that before? Pardon me? Okay, they think it's unimportant? Get distracted? Okay. Okay, so they don't want to get right with God because it kind of stymie their life. Okay. Don't think they're good enough? Okay, worthy, good enough? Yeah. He isn't listening. God's got enough trouble keeping this planet going, right? And the universe going, he's too busy. Funny, we often talk about us being too busy and some people might think God's too busy. Not listening. Interesting. Let's see how I did. I kind of thought, listening to Angie and a few others last night, I kind of put down some of these things. Too busy, scared of thy will be done, scared of the answer, no, yes, or wait. Not sure what will happen. Try to do it on our own. I think you guys hit it pretty well, didn't you? Yeah, you guys really, It's funny because I was, downtown Ann Arbor yesterday, and let's see, some people that I was visiting with at the art fair. I didn't actually get to the art fair. I was on my way. I was there for a meeting for a fundraiser, and I was down by the Y, and I actually got to talk to a few people that are on their way to the art fair. I asked them, are you really sure you want to go downtown in this heat? And just talking about things, and it was interesting. I got to hear from someone who was talking about why they believe that hell doesn't exist, and if it does exist, it's only for Hitler and for the guy that just drove the truck in France and different people like that, but not for, you know, the average person, because none of us has done anything really that bad. Kind of interesting. I haven't had that opportunity in a long time to hear kind of what the world thinks about things. So this is kind of why I want to ask the question, you know, what is it that keeps us from doing what we're supposed to be doing? I want us to understand the context of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 10. The context of Jesus' words for us as he invites, as he teaches on prayer in Luke 11, it starts out with these words from Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord anointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. This is what is happening prior to them asking about prayer. They are getting to see God's power in action, right? Because look at what happens. This is what they say when they come back. The 72 returned with joy, saying to the Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see, they got to see the power. You know, when I first read Luke 11, out of context, I thought, well, of course they want to learn how to pray. They want to see power. They want to see things happen. They want to see God at work. And yet, the funny thing is, they just came back from seeing God do amazing things. Right? So they knew that God could do these things. And this is before the question today. Jesus rejoices after the disciples come back and they say that all these things happen. In the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, listen to this, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Just think about that. This is all happening before they ask to pray. They're seeing the power, they're seeing the effect, they're seeing all these amazing things, they're getting to see everything on a spiritual level, and that's before they ask the question. And so I would argue that all of the things we talked about here were really important, but sometimes it's simply the willingness or the ability to know how to pray and to believe that when you are going to pray, that have expectation. Because it's not that we don't believe God can do these things, right? We all believe that, right? We believe God can do what he promises. Am I right? We believe that? We believe that God honors prayer, that he wants us to pray. We believe that even though we're unworthy as sinners, we're made worthy by the blood of Christ, right? We know that he ushers us into his presence whenever two or more are gathered in my name. I am there in the midst of them. He tells us in Matthew 18 that we are to pray. He says, when two or more agree on anything, it'll be done for them, right? So we know the power of prayer. We know this. And yet, why is it that we have so much trouble spending the time we should in prayer? How could it be that after all that they've seen, all they've experienced, all they've done, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, all these things that they've done, they still aren't sure? We hear what Jesus says when he says to them in Matthew 18, he says in verse 18, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth that about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." And so let's look at the I wanted to use the Message version because we have heard, how many of us have prayed the Lord's Prayer ever since we could talk? Yeah? I mean, how many of us have learned the Our Father had, every night, pray the Lord's Prayer. That was important. And so when you hear it in the Bible, sometimes you kind of just go, I know this. So I like to use different versions. I just picked up the Message and I thought Eugene Peterson had an interesting way of putting it. This is what he said. One day he was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Master, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Now I want to ask you something. Why did he feel a need to add the "as John taught his disciples"? Yes. Okay. Or did they feel, because these were, if you remember, these disciples were a lot older than anyone who would ever have been called or invited to be trained by a rabbi. When the disciples were called, it was very amazing to them that they received the call and that Jesus, instead of them going and asking Jesus actually said to them, "Come follow me." Because they were already over the age of being invited to study with a rabbi and having to ask a rabbi to take them on as a student or apprentice. They were already too old. And so I think in some ways when they saw how Jesus was affected, just like Moses was affected when he was in the presence of God. Remember when he came down from being in the presence with God, what happened? People couldn't even look at his face. He had to put a veil over his face because he was so radiant after being in the presence of God. And I believe that when Jesus prayed, something happened. And I think they were kind of nervous that Jesus wasn't going to share with them what was happening because it was so amazing, which is really funny if you think about it, because he just told them to go into all of the, just sent them out, allowed them to heal people, raise the dead, cast out demons, do all these things in these towns, right? And yet they're still not sure. Not sure enough so that when they come to him, they say, "Just as John taught his disciples." Kind of like, "Lord, could I have," it's kind of like, when I was getting to the age of 16 and I wanted a car, I knew exactly every other student in my high school that got a car. And I was ready to ask my dad, "Dad, can I have a car just like," you don't want to be less of a father than, right? Because I was scared he might say no. So just to kind of make sure I had something built up, I had a plan. Of course, he didn't. He said, "Fine. You want to pay for it? Go ahead." But, how do you know? And so this disciple comes and he says, "Just as John taught his disciples." Just as John taught his, it's kind of like, "Lord, please teach us. Please." So he said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, reveal who you are. Reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.'" Don't you like that version? I like that version. I don't not necessarily always agree with Eugene Peterson. This is not a translation. This is a paraphrase. This is something that he came up with to try to explain in modern language. But I like this one because I think it gives us a kind of a sense in the modern what it really means. Three square meals a day, that's something Jesus wouldn't say, but yet for us, we understand that. It means take care of us, provide for us. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me, the door's locked, my children are all down for the night, I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking up all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Didn't you like that? Instead of saying imprudence, which is what the ESV used, I thought he kind of summarized it even better. If you stand your ground and make so much noise so as to even wake up the neighbors, he's going to get up and take care of you. I'm surprised he's going to give you bread, but whatever. I mean, you know, he might have some other choice things to say. And then he says this. Here's what I am saying. The persistent widow. It seems like Jesus expects us to be persistent, right? And this is what he says. Here's what I'm saying to you. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Be bold. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. I thought that was kind of interesting. When I first read that, I'm like, way to put it. So how many of us kind of wonder, you know, how can we manipulate the situation? The text I didn't read from the Old Testament is Abraham negotiating with God over Sodom. I didn't read it today because we have a presentation. I didn't have time, but it's an amazing text because he's bargaining with God. He's saying, well, you know, if there's 50 righteous people, if there's 20 righteous people, it keeps going down. You know, will you destroy a city because? So he's saying, don't bargain with God. Don't bargain with them. Be direct. Ask for what you need. It's not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks you for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Or if your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? My girls react to spiders. Yeah, not a good thing. As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Brothers and sisters, my question is, why are we scared? Why don't we pray with expectation? Why are we scared? Do we know who we are as God's children? Do we know what he has promised? Do we know that it changes us and our circumstances? Do you know that there's power in prayer? Do you know it? You know it, right? Do you believe it? Do you trust in it? That's a good question. Because if we did, how would our life change? There's a story, I'm going to close with this. There's a story about this farming community on the prairies where they're in dire need of rain. And so all the pastors, similar to what we did this week with the prayers for our country and all the divisiveness that's going on, they decided to gather together in the town square to pray for rain. And there was all the pastors from all the churches, and they all got up, and they all shared a passage, and they all spoke, because you never want to ask a pastor to talk. They all got up, they all shared, and they all prayed. And it was amazing because it started to rain. As a matter of fact, it started to pour. And the sad thing was, there was only one little girl who really had what we're supposed to have, had expectation, because even in the midst of the drought, guess what she brought to the prayer meeting? How's your level of expectation? When you pray for rain, do you bring an umbrella? Brothers and sisters, we serve the God of the universe. He invites us to pray. He invites us to ask. Not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in, right? He invites us to pray, and we expect an answer. Amen. Okay, before we close with prayer, I do.